Hi, it's Sveta and Ben, the world's number one impact investing expert. I have been educating thousands of people on the topic, how can you use finance as a force for good?
And I have been helping hundreds of entrepreneurs all around the world to set up, run, and establish their companies and businesses.
Do you even know what is impact investing? And how can you get engaged in that?
Did you know that in the coming years, we are going to lose 26 trillion of our GDP due to the climate change? But on the other hand, are you also aware of all the opportunities that the sector has to offer?
Are you aware of changing policies and businesses which already impact every little part of your life?
To have the answer to all these questions, come and join us at Swiss Impact with Banerjee's on every Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock Swiss time, starting from 15 January.
We will be interviewing thought leaders, world leaders, policymakers, investors, businesses, which are already engaged in this sector. So, see you on Friday.
See you on Friday.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone, and to our viewers from Far East, good night.
Hi. Greetings from Switzerland and welcome to Swiss Impact with Banerjee's, meaning with Ben and myself, Sveta.
We decided to start this program as a part of three visions. Firstly, to raise awareness of the existential threat that our world is facing, especially the next generation. Second and third vision is to provide accessible in education and take action. The UN had been taking, since years, they have been begging for that they need less than 1% of the global GDP to finance all the SDGs. It all fell on deaf ears. But then a tiny virus, COVID-19, strikes from, and most likely caused by rampant destruction of biodiversity and natural habitats. And we lost more than 4% of our global GDP. And in the advanced countries, we lost more than 7% of our GDP. Question is, when will humanity learn to move with hope and plan instead of fear and despair? So, Svetlana, I came with this amazing theory.
Tell me.
Correct me. Since you are the impact investment expert, tell me, what do you think? So you have the carbon footprint. You know that, meaning how much CO2 we are emitting by our actions, activities. But then nowadays also many people are speaking about carbon handprint, meaning actions we are doing to do something good for the nature, good for the environment. In common terms, so how would you reply to this, looking into this carbon footprint and handbed? I was thinking sustainability should be the carbon footprint and impact investment should be the carbon handprint. What do you think?
I think it's one of your genius ideas, actually. And I love that. So indeed, sustainability is representing the footprint and impact investing the handprint. And it is so important to understand what is food. I will not show you the food here, even though I could, but hand and footprint, it's very important to understand what is what. The same with sustainability and impact investing in order to take the right actions and generate a true impact on our planet. So there is no impact washing. And this is exactly, second and third part of our vision, right? Educating people on what is what and taking the right action. We've been doing it for many years now. And while I tell people on what is impact investing, investment criteria, activities, reporting, impact measurement, and so on, I learned myself quite a lot. However, I'd like to invite all of our audiences from different countries now to take part in the next event, which we are organizing on the 9th of
February. Oh, it seems Svetlana's connection got lost. Svetlana, are you here? Can you hear us? I think Svetlana's connection got lost. So what I was trying to tell is the course which we are going to do is this course, which do every, we are starting on 9th February, where we tell people what is impact investment, impact criteria, activities, reporting, measurements, etc., and how to set them up. I was just looking for the slide 2, if you can show it. As I have Svetlana has experience of educating thousands of professionals and entrepreneurs, and from businesses and young people from on the SDGs, so they can call themselves impact business and have the doors open to the impact investment. And as you must have noticed by a couple of our earlier speakers of last weeks, that impact investment is growing like crazy. It is amazing amounts coming out from everywhere. So what we are doing is we are helping to set the transformation. And this is a free course, a free coach and training on 9th February. So this we can show it to you later on, the link where you can see the course. And myself, what I do is, as you know, I have been helping structuring businesses, business development, and how to seek funding. And since I have the opportunity of setting up companies all over the West Europe, so this is how
I am back. Works. I don't know what's happened. You're back. Yes.
I'm still waiting for the slide 2. Did you have the slide 2 or shall we share it?
Yeah, just a second. Just continue telling what the course is about. Yeah. Then
that would be perfect.
That's a slide.
So yes. Then what I was saying, that we can set up the companies, businesses, and we help people doing that. So this was the slide 3, I think. We needed the slide 2.
Just a second.
Yeah, you have it. Perfect.
Here we go.
Ah, and how did you manage that? So the show will be around this. And Svetlana, can you tell a little bit about what would be taught here in this course?
Yes, absolutely. So it's basically for everyone who is seeking ways to make money in these difficult times. If you want to transform your business and make it financially independent, which is very important. And of course, if you're seeking funds for your business, it's also for you. And what we are going to answer in terms of impact investing and impact measurement, we are going to tell you how to create a successful and meaningful business, solving environmental and social issues while generating high returns. Also, we will tell you how to structure and scale your business to generate both, again, high returns and impact. And of course, how to successfully fundraise in order to get into impact investing sector, and how to get support, expertise, funds available in for impactful businesses. So now take a picture of the slide, if it can go back. So everyone can have the link and register, because it's already next week on the 9th of February. And I hope you will join us on this impactful long-term journey.
Thank you. And like I was saying, so today our own show. So what we do in this show on this Friday, Impact with Banerjee on Friday, is that we interview business, political, financial, and thought leaders from all over the world. And what we are going to do is we do sometimes to reduce our carbon footprint to fight the climate change. But let's today focus on money. How do we save, invest, and donate money for effective climate change?
So, I mean, yes.
Today, we are going to talk about the Get Insights. Can you tell, Svetlana, which are the insights we are going to get with our present speaker?
Yes, absolutely. Our speaker today represents actually asset owners who are so large, they alone could finance all the SDGs. And so you are going to have insights of who are these relatively new but extremely rich players in the field of impact investment. What is their intention and where do they invest? Of course, what are the investment criteria? So maybe you could get funded by this organization. And what are the areas of the investment? And with this, I'd like to welcome Mr. Martin Palmer, the president and the interim chief executive officer of Fate Invest. Is Martin there?
We have to wait and look. We are still waiting for Martin. Svetlana, maybe if you talk a little bit about the description, because not everybody in our audience knows what is impact investment.
Yeah, this I can talk for hours, as you know. And actually, let me make it from the other angle. As we started to talk from sustainability and impact investment, right, handprint, footprint. So impact investment are really different from sustainable investment. And if you look at financial markets, a lot of current blue chips, so-called big companies like Apple, Microsoft, Unilever, they are all sustainable, right? And the problem is when you invest in those companies, not a significant impact will happen for our environment or social impact, because the mission of those companies is still generating profits and not creating deep impact to change the system. This is the main difference, sustainable and impact investment, I would say. The underlying mission is very important. However, I don't say that we don't need sustainable investment in any way. We need it, and we definitely need that more and more big corporations would become more sustainable and would generate this broad impact, that they would incorporate more CO2 reduction policies, waste reduction, empowering women at top positions, and so on. So we definitely need more sustainable investment. However, we need to understand how is it different from impact investment, so we also shift enough of capital into impact investment to generate really deep impact. And by deep impact, I mean that we provide a change in systems. Like take food industry, right? Maybe 10 years ago, being vegan was really a struggle. You couldn't find so easily vegan cappuccino or vegan lunch. Nowadays, here in Switzerland and in UK and in many European countries, even in such countries like Russia, you can be vegan and you can live your lifestyle. So, and this is why this is happening, because some big companies which started small, they could transform the system, they can slowly transform the system towards such incredible impact, which is very important. Another example could be, for example, if you go back to sustainability, I really love when people ask me, give me a practical example, what is sustainable, what is impact? Let's take two companies. One is Geberit, which produces toilets, hygienic articles in Switzerland, and it's a sustainable company, right? On the other hand, we have Sanergy, and Sanergy has its operation in Kenya, and they produce also toilets, but very different from Geberit. But the impact they are creating is incredible. So they not only produce such toilets, and they teach the communities how to wash hands. They lend this toilet so someone can operate it. They collect garbage afterwards, and so it's the like if you are a girl or a woman, and imagine. I mean, we are on the TV, but anyway, it's life, right? So at night you wake up, you need to go to the toilet. And imagine you don't have one. Here in Europe, in many countries, it's so normal, but some people don't have it, right? And this company, Sanergy, they provide these toilets to community. So at night also people can fulfill their basic needs. And this means that violence decreases, that hygiene increases, that diseases decreases also with the time, and people can increase their income. And also amazing thing is that they transform the waste into fertilizer. So it's basically the whole impact chain which is behind this company. And this is how it's very different from simple production of toilets, which we install here in our apartment, to toilets which create such a deep impact that it changes your life. So, and let's not talk about toilets anymore. Ben, is Martin Palmer here, or we are still waiting? Because I really love to jump into our discussion with Martin.
No, Martin is having a problem with his link, so to log in. So if you keep on, I'll get Martin in. They are trying to solve the issue.
Maybe let me ask you a question. How did you get to know Martin, actually? Because I know you are a friend with Martin, so let's reveal a little.
It all started in Zug. This was in 2017 when we from SIA, we brought more than 12 religious heads from all over the world. To come here and commit a part of their asset. Maybe you can show the slide 3 there. You see, this was done in SIA where the heads of the religious organizations came under the, and Martin was then leading the ARC, the Alliance of Religion and Conservation. Yeah. And they came together for 2 days. And then finally, at the end of the 2 days, they signed the agreement, which is called the Zuber Guideline, where they committed a part of their assets to invest into religious, into social and environmental projects all around the world. And the amount of assets that the religious organizations have is incredible. But this, I think Martin can talk much more about it. So that's how I know Martin very well. And he's a scholar, he's a writer, he's a man of too many talents, and he's extremely highly educated and has quite an old and good history.
Let me show you this quickly. Can you see my screen?
Not yet.
Can you see it now?
Yeah, here you see. So if you make it a bit bigger, you will see that it is the UNDP manager, Jameson Ervin. She's handing over the Zuber guideline to Cardinal Turkson, who was representing the Vatican. And the man with the eagle eyes who is watching from the side on the screen, that is Martin Palmer.
So, yeah, the one on the right side. Yeah, I see. And this is all happening in Switzerland, right?
In Zug, yeah, at the SIA summit of ours, our annual summit. That's very timely.
Do you remember how much capital did they commit to transform into impact investment?
It's more than 800 billion.
Billion
assets.
I'm just teasing you, just to... If it's millions, it's not that much.
Because you have the Vatican, of course, which is taking the leadership role under the present Pope on the environmental issues. But there was the Church of England, the Methodist Church, the Shias, Sunnis, Taos, Buddhists, Hindus, Jains. They are all represented there. And from big religions, which are very big asset owners, two religions which are much smaller asset owners. For example, the Buddhists from Indonesia or something. They're compared to the Vatican or something. Their amount of assets is much smaller, but still they all are part of this, equal part of it, and they are all having their own criteria. Each and every asset religion has their own criteria on how to invest and what to do. And once Martin solves this issue with the link, the technical glitch he's having, then maybe he can talk much more about this, what's going on.
And as long as he didn't solve it, then I will continue interviewing you, Ben, and using opportunity to mail. What is your religion, actually?
So I'm born Hindu, but I have never been really a practicing one. So I studied a lot of other religions also. The one which I found very near to me is the Buddhism and Hinduism, both, of course. But also I was educated in convent school. So I got quite a Catholic upbringing. Sort of a mixture. And Netherlands is a very Calvinistic country. So it's a very Protestant country where I spent most of my life. So, that's how it
works. What would you say? Who are you?
That's a good question. I think I find the most in Hinduism and Buddhism. That's where I find my most. But also in the Catholic religion.
Right. Yeah. And does it influence kind of your investment decisions, or do you see any religious impact on your investment decisions?
I think when you define religion, this is my own perception. Okay, this is completely topic, but it's a Hinduism, I don't see it as a religion. It's not a religion, it's a life philosophy. And when you grow up with a very ancient or very basic Hindu philosophy, it's you learn to live that you are not above the nature, you're not above anything. You are part of everything. Everything is circular. It's a very big difference between monolithic religions and in Hinduism in that way.
So it's Jainism, right?
Jainism is also a very, very strong religion, but they are very small in number in India. For example, if you compare with the relative numbers to Hinduism and Islam and Christianity, Jains are very few in number relatively. But they are the most non-violent, peaceful religion in my religion, in my opinion, I think.
I've heard they're even wearing masks not to eat insects. Is it right?
Yeah.
Not to hurt anyone, like extreme vegan,
yeah.
Kind of. Is it correct?
As far as I remember, yes. And also when they walk on the streets and something like that, they pay very good attention that they are not walking over any insect or something. They are extreme non-violent.
Right. I mean, if you have big insects there, I would also look that I don't walk on some big insects. Definitely. Yeah. How is it going with Martin? Is he
I don't know. That's the problem. There's some technical glitch happening, but I think they are calling him and trying to solve it. I'll try to see.
Right. Let's continue then with your interview.
Oh.
Yes, I mean, you have so much knowledge, and I mean, we can use this opportunity for spontaneous interview of Mr. Ben Banerjee, who is the expert in impact investing. It's more than 30 years, and his journey started 30 years ago. How did it start, Ben?
Ah, that's a good point. So when I was at the university, this is before. So we started in Netherlands, a small organization called India Care Group. It was a small group of, we were collecting money from schools and everything in Netherlands and bringing this money to schools in India. So we were supporting 14 schools. These were schools for invalid children and street children all over India. That's how I started. It was called India Care Group. Today, it's a very, very big organization. It became part of IHF in Netherlands. That's the International Health Funds. So that's what first, and then I created my own company. It was very big, but fast forward, one project that caught my mind, especially in Netherlands, you cannot avoid windmills. So we grew up with windmills all around, and you see how windmills were everywhere in Netherlands, and suddenly, slowly, they all disappeared from the landscape, from everywhere. And my intention was to bring it back because as a source of energy, but we were far, far ahead of time. So then the first place where we
looked into or checked into was... what's happened? It didn't work with windmills or what's happened?
No, because the oil and everything was cheaper. I'm talking about the end 80s, 90s. Everybody was investing into fossil fuel and everything was so much cheaper and windmills were not... And the original use of windmills was from grinding meal, grinding flour. So and then we started using that same technology and we created the Q7. That is the windmill park outside on the ocean in Amsterdam. That was a many, many years project and it was a multi-level project because we had the private side and the public side coming in. So we were one of the first ones to be involved with it. And that's how it went ahead. And then came bioenergy. Then came microfinance. We did a lot of biodiesel and things like that. Later came microfinance. And the world went further and further from there.
Did you try also to kind of be internal, influencer from inside? So intrapreneur, it's called not entrepreneur, but intrapreneur in one of the financial institutions or somewhere. So impact from inside.
Yes, indeed I did. I was in a couple of financial institutions, starting from ABN AMRO, later on in other ones, to bring this kind of thinking. I was also in a couple of major trading institutions, including Oh, apparently it is getting done. So
not yet done. So keep on.
So trading institutions like there was a sister organization. I'm talking about time when Lukoil was a very small company. So intention was also to bring them more into green energy, alternative energy from here, and similar lot of other companies. And we then had the family office also very strongly promoting impact investment. But this was far beyond. Today everybody knows about, or at least most of the financial institutions know about impact investment. In those times, people used to give us very glossy looks when we talked about impact investment.
But so you gave up basically on financial institutions creating intrapreneurial impact, and then you left. Or how did that happen?
The problem is when something new starts, people start looking at it as because one of the major points of financial institutions is how to get new assets in. And when they hear this new, and especially the new generation, the young generation are far more aware of environment and everything than the old generation. I notice this with my own son also. He's much more aware of the environmental damage or environmental issues than I am when I was at his age. Sorry about the sound outside. They are digging something not very far from our office, building something near here. So this is the thing we started doing with the young people and everything. So that's how it started. And financial institutions, they started what you call the greenwashing. I'm not saying that all of them did, but many of them did. And also, you see, that's still going on. So as long as the governments and the policymakers do not come with very strong regulations and policies, like which is now slowly happening all over the European Union, Netherlands, Finland, they're coming with very strong. So you see movement from different axes. You have the movement from the angle that the regulatory boards, the financial institutions are coming in. The regulatory board and the government.
Basically, they will enforce impact investing on the banks and then they will move.
It is already happening. From one side, the banks are under pressure from the regulatory boards. On the other side, the clients are enforcing the bank, which is also what I mentioned last week during our interview, that we have power. We should not underestimate how much power we have in the banks. Whether we have 10 euro or 10 million euro, we have the power to make the banks reconsider their investment criteria and policies.
Yes, I agree absolutely. And it doesn't matter if you're a big client or small one, even just start asking question, where is my pension fund invested? And ask, okay, do you have any sustainable funds for my pension or maybe even impact investing? Most probably they will or impact investing, but maybe they have at least sustainable investing funds, which you could say we can transform the assets, right? Mm-hmm. And what would you say to the bankers which are still in the banks, and maybe some of them really want to go into sustainability, but as the bank is not moving, they're still just observing the things. Then poor employees are forced to look for bonuses and sell more products, maybe which they don't want to sell.
I would say push back, because if you notice in Netherlands, when this movement happened, Netherlands in Europe is a bit ahead in impact investment than the rest of Europe. So when this movement started in Netherlands, already, if you look at all the bank heads, the old ones, which I should be careful with the terms and terminology.
Don't name any bank, please.
Exactly. The heads have all been replaced by younger people who are much more conscious about climate, social impact investments, sustainable investments. So nearly all the banks' tops have been changed. Switzerland is still relatively behind, but this change is coming. And this change already has started with banks like UBS and everything, that they are extremely far out thinking. People are coming at the leadership position in these banks, much younger and much more conscious about sustainability and impact investment. So it is coming. So don't give up hope. Keep on pushing back, because the world is changing. Don't just think about banks. Also financial institutions, like if you look at BlackRock and everything, mm-hmm. It's coming also from the top, from the leadership, where they are asking for reporting on sustainability, that every project, every business they invest in the project, they have to give a sustainability or the impact report at the end of the year. It's becoming a compulsory part of their reporting.
Right, because it's again about risk, right? So you are kind of specialized on risk return impact perspective. What yep. would you say from this risk perspective to our audience?
I think it's very, 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 very important, especially if you're in the banking sector, because you have two issues. One is a regulatory risk. The risks are becoming harder and harder. The regulatory, the reportings are becoming compulsory. Also, the big investors are coming in. Basically, I would say there are three. And the big investors or the big banks, they are already moving in. If last week or 2 weeks ago when we had European Investment Bank, there also you saw the same issue, that the European Investment Bank already has put a policy in place that they will be checking at the impact and sustainability of every investment they are doing. I'm hearing also the same from other major banks. So they are changing these regulatory boards. So these are the regulatory changes coming. Then you have the liability issues. If your investment creates any kind of issue anywhere in the world, you are going to be liable. Doesn't matter where you are in this today's global world. I mean, your investment in Malaysia or something, if it goes wrong, you will be held responsible here in Europe. And that also includes assets which are stranded assets. For example, if your bank on your behalf is investing, or you yourself are investing in fossil fuel power station or airlines, look at what happened to them at this moment. So these regulations are catching up. So they are being, many of these investments are never ever going to be paid back. So today, for example, if you invest in a coal power station, the chances are nearly zero that you will ever get your whole investment.
And you must be crazy to invest now in a coal power station.
Exactly. There are people doing it. I mean, China is doing it. China is building coal power station all over Asia and Africa. But China is playing it smart, because the financial debt stays not with China, it stays with the countries. So these countries will remain indebted. They will never get that money back from these coal power stations. Mm-hmm. And the third issue, which is relatively new, but it is extremely powerful, is disinvestment. Mm-hmm. So many major organizations, funds, and especially ultra high net worth individuals, they are making clear policies to disinvest from projects which are harmful for the nature or for the environment or for the society. So, for example, the Rockefeller brothers who came to our event in October, they have already started disinvesting since, I thought, what was it? He said 2015 or something, mm-hmm. or 17. They started disinvesting from all fossil fuel. And while, in fact, their most part of their money comes from fossil fuel industry. So disinvestment is a very, very powerful object which is going on. And it is moving. A lot of trading companies, you yourself know, in Zug, we have issues with lots of trading
companies. Yes, absolutely. Trading companies and trading mining companies are also suffering from disinvestment and want to show that they are also not so bad, that they also engage in sustainable practices, and that mining can actually also be sustainable. I can share a little story. When I was a student and worked at the family office, when we managed three commodity funds, I was lucky to visit one of the mining operations in Sweden. It was called Aitik Copper Mine. And I was amazed that we could see swans swimming in little lakes when there were mines before. And it was very beautiful at the mine landscape. So this was a great example that even if, okay, we are mining and maybe we indeed need some commodities out there to operate, but still you can do it in very different ways, that people are happy because people at this mining company, they stayed for many, many years. So the health issues of your employees, especially in such dangerous industries like mining, is very important to consider. And of course, the nature. Right, so it's possible to operate even in mining industry in a sustainable way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. I mean, mining is a very, very, I mean, you know it much more than I do. You even wrote a thesis on it, that mining, we need it. I mean, right. Even our electric car will not work if we do not mine the cobalt for the batteries or metal or iron or whatever we need it, but there are already alternatives possible to do it with committing the least damage. And I think mining is, I worry more about the fishing.
Yep.
So,
do you eat fish?
Very, very rarely. Yeah, I'm a Bengali. Bengalis are supposed to be fish eaters, but very rarely. Because the issue is, which we had also in one of our first event about maps, the Marine Arctic Peace Sanctuary, the oceans have national boundaries and national coverage, but most of the ocean, I think it's more than 70% of it, is so-called international water, which has no control. So there's massive destruction going on, unhindered by any law, any regulation. It's completely destroying our ocean. But while we forget that every second breath we take is thanks to the ocean. But
this interconnectedness, I mean, I think every our speaker who was here till now, they all underline that people forget about interconnectedness between the nature, human, and the Earth, right? So we are not here alone as human being on the planet, but rather we can breathe because the trees are here. What they exhale, we inhale. And so we need also to think about reforestation. And I have a colleague of mine who is most probably coming for one of the shows who will talk about reforestation, how important it is to plant trees for the planet. So it's not only about saving Arctic and cutting out all the trees in Amazon area, but it's both. It's everything is connected. So we need to save the oceans from plastic. We need to take action on the Arctic. We need to take action on the reforestation. And maybe we stop eating fish also for some time in order at least to increase again the fish population to the extent that it can survive.
Mm-hmm. I was just reading from the technical guys that they are saying that his problem is nearly getting solved. So he should be joining in soon.
Should I There's believe you, Ben?
No, no, it's the IT guys, not me.
I believe you this time.
It's apparently there's some compatible problem. I knew that UK is not, they are out of European Union, but I didn't know that UK has so much issues now, even with the technology.
Oh, because really, that's an interesting point. But I suggest we change roles here. Maybe you can interview me as we have some time.
There's a difference between you and me. You know what you're talking about. In my case, most of the time, I don't.
Maybe I don't neither. I just show off like that. So just
So tell me, what you are a banker. Why?
Ex-banker.
Ex-banker. Why did you come into impact investment?
It's actually a long story, and it all started back to Russia. When I was a young kid, what I wanted to have in my life is being financially independent and be able to live wherever I want on this planet Earth, because I believe that I am a citizen of the world. How comes that I need visa to come in many, many countries? So why it's so many borders on the way, and why women are so dependent on men? So I wanted to be really independent. And with this dream, I came to Switzerland and did my finance studies, which allowed me, of course, to fulfill these dreams which I had. I was at the middle of Switzerland's Swiss financial industry on Paradeplatz. These people who are in this industry, for sure they know where it is, right? And I was even in a sustainable Swiss private bank. However, back to financial crisis in 2007, the first kind of danger started to ring in my head, like it's not all about being independent and financially independent. When everyone started to blame finance after a big financial crisis, I was thinking, oh my gosh, what am I studying? I want to do something good in this world. So, and I was never ever being able to say with pride, I'm a banker. No, you know, it was always like Svetlana, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm a banker, but, you know, I also do some good things in my life. It's not only bad, like finance was associated with something bad. So after financial crisis, I decided, so I definitely want to move in the direction of good finance. And when we were talking about mining, you know, my master thesis was on the topic commodity stocks, responsibility and performance. So we wanted to establish sustainable mining fund, one of the first at that time. And this is how I learned about sustainable investing, responsible investing, impact and all this stuff. And I said, OK, this is where I want to go. But, you know, the challenge is when you want to go there, you're not very welcomed. Or you try to get inside of this amazing impact investing world, but there are such limited opportunities, so many, not enough jobs for everyone at the moment, that you just get no, sorry, you are not fitting in our black box, that you don't have experience or you, whatever you are. And I was so motivated, you know, with big eyes, impact. So I said, okay, what can I do if they don't want me? Then I established my own organization. Yay! And after having visited very like many conferences, did educational programs in Oxford, I decided to share with everyone what is impact investing, that it exists. Because, you know, programs at that time and also now, it's very expensive. Let's be honest, right? Oxford is nice. It was an amazing experience. I would suggest if you have money, go there. But if you don't and you want to learn about impact investing, it's just a big struggle. So I wanted to solve this problem that education in impact investing would become accessible for everyone, independent of profession and budget, right? Because if you want to create impact, and then you cannot even learn about it, you don't know that it even exists, this is not normal. But so let's do it in the new normal. Now I'm finished.
But if it is so expensive, why did you study it? And what is the gain out of it then?
Well, I studied because I wanted to study at kind of, you know, I thought Oxford is really the place where you can connect around the world, you can learn. And I learned a lot, you know. We got so much amazing case studies before that. So 1 month before Oxford, I was just studying on my own, reading case studies from different countries, what is impact measurement, reporting, all case studies, how impact investing came into place, when was it created, and what was at the beginning, right? Maybe you know the story in UK, impact investing is very developed because also the government is supporting impact investing with policies. So the ecosystem is much more developed compared to Switzerland. And what I really liked as a banker, that they created impact investing fund out of dormant accounts. Do you know what a dormant account are?
But explain it for the audience.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the accounts which are dormant, so they're kind of sleeping, right? It's accounts which were not reclaimed for many, many years. Might be someone died or after war. So the assets nobody came and asked for these assets. So they're called dormant. What UK government did, they asked the banks, okay, certain percentage of your dormant account go to impact investing fund. And like this, they created, I think it was 800 or 900 million fund, which they created. And Switzerland, I'm sure they have so many dormant accounts, which are still sleeping, and they could be used for impact investing very easily if only Swiss government would come up with such a brilliant idea. So going back to your question, so we were reading these case studies about such initiatives and the first green bond, how it was created and so on. And in Oxford, I don't want to make advertisement for Oxford here. Anyway, it's where my idea came when I've seen all these wealthy people, investors, CEOs, asset owners there talking about impact investing, learning about that. And I was a poor banker. To be honest, I was one of the poor bankers, I think, in Switzerland, spending my time on going to conferences on impact investing. I said, well, it's just not right, you know? Mm-hmm. How can it be that business with impact is not known yet to the whole world, which is possible? And when I was teaching afterwards at the universities here in Switzerland, students, I love students. They are most open-minded, and like once they know that impact investing is there, it's like, ba-da, you know, you open up their minds, and it's like planting seeds. Wherever they go, they will create impact, either in corporate world or banks, financial institutions. They know that it's possible to create impact and do business at the same time, you know, and this is just that everyone should know that it's possible. I can share one last story. They are not here yet, right? So
no,
I'm now in the mood. Okay, you asked me. You turn on the button. So one of my friends in Russia, also quite a wealthy man, so when I first talked to him about impact investing, his reaction was like, like, are you, like, is it, he was so skeptical about that. So, because usually people do business, make a lot of money, and then they donate a little part of it to a good cause, right? This is how it has been in many countries, not only in Russia. And he was very skeptical that it's really possible to combine that, doing business and do positive impact for the environment and people. But now, actually, after a couple of years, he is also watching what we are doing and the show. And he himself started to kind of search for projects like that to invest. So it's, I think, also this, everyone can create little impact with your whatever you do in life. It's on personal level. It's on where do you work or for which company you're working and what how you invest, right? So you can create your impact on these three levels, and I would engage every audience that we have now from different countries, different cultures, and we are very well of that different cultures might have very different views on impact investment, but still you can always create a positive impact from any culture and with any profession.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. But the issue what I see with this impact is that we have now amazing, huge amount of funds available, you know, from the EIB and all the banks, and everybody is now setting up impact funds and impact. But on the other hand, we have a lot of projects in Far East, in the emerging market, but they are not matching. One is the lack of course, the documentation of the structure. But other is the communication. So there's a huge mismatch of it, that there's so much funds available. And the second major issue what I see is the size of the funds.
Yeah.
That the Western funds, they generally like huge projects of 50 million, 20 million, 100 million. While these projects in the emerging countries, they are generally relatively much smaller. Their requirements are smaller.
500,000.
Yeah, exactly. And so what do you think? Exactly, this is the point where we are going to teach or educate on how to do it. And also the thing is, if you, this is the business side, but also on the fund side, you see, there are impact funds which are having amazing performance. I mean, these are funds which even during the COVID time, you know, one of our funds is having 20% plus performance.
Yeah, almost 30% actually, yes. Yeah,
exactly. So there's so much good news going on around here. And we need it. We do not have choice. We really need it. We have to make a turnaround in the next 7 years. Mm-hmm. We need the policymakers should have the courage and move ahead. So this has to happen.
I mean, I can only say yes. It has to happen, exactly. And still interesting to observe, you know, when I was talking not at impact investing conference, but at finance conference, when they are CEOs of banks, financial institutions, family offices, Still, they agree with what I say, and still they are kind of in a observer or spectator mood, right? So how can we transform them from spectators to actors? This
exactly.
is action is always very important. A lot of people are talking at impact conferences. Some people get frustrated because still 10 years before they were talking about the same, and still not enough action is going on in impact investing. So how do you see that?
That is the starting. It is always the starting things. When we started also, I mean, there are so many small organizations and companies we have started, and today they are massive, massive big organization. So starting, it's called, in Dutch you say it is the childhood pain. So when you start something, you have to go through this painful childhood process. And but it is coming in.
Right.
It is happening. So the changes are happening. And that is, I thought, what we are also trying to do is educate the people. So all the painful moments we have had, starting our small companies and everything, I remember not sleeping at night thinking, how the hell am I going to pay 3,000 people's salary? It's the starting is always painful, but we it will reach. We are reaching there, and that's so. What we are doing is at least educating the people how to find the way out of not going through all the painful processes.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, first time I went to Impact Investing Conference, it was. I mean, I knew what it is, but it's kind of, you know, you don't really understand what they're talking about. So my approach to teach afterwards was to put the puzzle together for people. What is impact investing, the market players, how to engage and so on. So when they go and pay so much money for impact conference, then they get the most out of it and not just going there and listening. And, you know, so this is very important.
Exactly.
And I mean, education, how I see that it should be on different levels. Like universities, let's start with education, right? Even here in Switzerland, impact investing is still not taught at bachelor and master levels. You have, again, to pay. There are some programs, but it's more sustainable investing, and you still need to pay to learn about that, right? So why don't we start there to incorporate SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, and impact investing into programs for our future generations? Because at the end of time, they are the ones who will be leading corporations and financial institutions in 10, 20, 30 years. And
exactly.
When they come out, the world already changed. So if they have no idea about impact, they are screwed.
Exactly. And that's where, again, I'm maybe a bit nationalism, but I'm a bit proud of Netherlands, that they have already started implementing this, that all educational institutions, whether universities, whether high schools, they are integrating impact invest or impact business or environmental social in nearly every faculty, in every studies. So that's really a very big step ahead. And I know that Finland is also quite very much the same ahead, but these are the two most, I would say, environmentally conscious countries of Europe.
Yeah.
So yeah, what you're saying is completely true, but the question still remains is, how can we spread this knowledge around the world? And thanks to COVID, now we have this internet, the webinar or IBM TV, we have all the access to spread the knowledge around the world and spread the resources, because we have the knowledge and the expertise and sometimes also the resources. It's just a matter of reaching the right people at the right companies, right businesses.
Yes,
and what you also mentioned is very true, that impact investment, how do you define impact investment? It is so different. Last time I was speaking to somebody from India, he said, in my company, I give job to many people, so I am doing an impact.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was thinking, that's, you are very true, but that's not how the financial institutions or the definition goes. So that's where I think it has to be made very clear about how we define impact investment and which are the criteria that a business should fulfill to make a request for investment from here, or whether it is...
I agree with that. But yeah. I need to add that then we also need to somehow move all these institutions which are making money available for impact, that they should take at least a bit more of a risk, you know, because then the question is, okay, European Investment Bank, they put 1 trillion available, but only for very big projects, right? And some other banks, even development financial institutions, again, they don't want to take risk. They want all to be on the secure side, do good and no risky investment. But how can that be? You know, so, yeah. I mean, we don't have, if we go a little bit into Armageddon scenario here, and we don't have time for being strict capitalist and risk-free investment. We have a lot of projects available. I know not all of them are perfect, but a lot of them are amazing, and still they're struggling for many months or even more than a year to get financing, and this is not okay.
That's the problem. That's the problem we have had so many times, that there is a huge mismatch of the requirement. One of the examples I always used to say is that when internet started, I don't know if you made it through when we had the emails. So I want to send an email to somebody in India or say somebody in England. And what I do is I send the email to my post office here.
Right.
Who sends that? Oh, no, sorry. I type it in a paper, bring it to my post office here. Who puts it in an email, sends it to the post office in England? Who prints it out? And sends it by email. So basically, they were using the old standard telegraph system, and they were implementing it on the email. And today we know that we are completely different. So it's the same thing. So the banks, the financial institutions are trying to implement the same old standards and the structures, what they have used the last 50, 60 years on the present business and the new business. Unfortunately, it won't work. They have to adapt. And that is something also where we are working very hard to educate the financial institutions, and especially from the government side. Like if you look at the pension funds, the regulations, the rules, the pension funds have to fulfill. They can never do impact investment. Mm-hmm. So these rules have to be changed because they have to fulfill so many criteria. They have to tick so many boxes. They will never manage to do impact investment. While in fact, the ones who are doing it are doing not only their performance is much better, but in everything else they're also making a positive impact and also getting new clients in.
I agree with that. So, you know, we were talking about what needs to be done on educational level, universities, then now you're talking about also changing financial regulations. So such organization like FINMA, BaFin in Germany, they need to also change certain definitions as what is qualified investor, right? Because impact investing falls under alternative investments, and only qualified investors, meaning if you have more than, I think, 250,000 Swiss francs, or if you have financial background, so you are a banker or educated financially, you can invest in something like that, which is, again, not okay, because traditional investments are also so risky, and we've seen that they go down when financial crisis there, or even not pandemic, then traditional investments, they are very, very risky. So it doesn't matter if you're qualified or not, you're suffering anyway, right? So this qualified investor definitions needs to be resolved and redefined. And the third thing is for me that impact investment should be valuable for retail investors, which is very important, right? If I have 100 francs or 1,000 francs and I want to invest it in one of the SDGs, I should be able to go to a bank and say, hey, guys, I have this. Can you please show me which kind of funds, impact investing funds you have, so I can meaningfully put my money into that? And at the moment, the most banks will say, hey, sorry, what is impact investing? Because usually, maybe if you are a wealthy client, then you have an advisor, hopefully, who knows what is impact investing. But usually, at the other little bankers, they even don't know what it is, right?
That's very true. Yeah.
So the banks need to educate their own employees as well. It starts there, educating employees, educating clients, and providing accessible impact investing funds. And they can either create own funds, which is quite of a struggle, especially when you don't have a know-how, or you can source and make a white label existing impact investing funds. And there are plenty out there with track record, with amazing performance. So the message to all the financial institutions, white label impact investing funds.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's benefit. It's great for your clients. It's great for you as a bank to have impact investing fund in your portfolio, so you can increase your reputation as a financial institution that you already started impact investing. So this I would suggest to the banks definitely to look at, as it's not so much effort and resources to start acting on that.
Exactly. No, that's I just got the message that Martin can't join in because there is a huge mismatch of technology. So they will need
maybe it's because IT teams our show is not ends. Religious.
I think this must be a side effect of the Brexit.
No, so I was thinking also anyways that we will invite Martin for the whole TV show, and maybe not next time, because next time we have already a guest. So we will announce again when Martin Palmer will come. I'm really looking forward to this. Martin, if you are watching us, we are with you. We were trying to really till the last minute to welcome you, but don't worry, we will welcome you another time. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I was just remembering this. Somebody said when Brexit happens, because, you know, you watch all these James Bond films, that James Bond, he goes to any country, he just walks through. But once Brexit is happening, James Bond will be standing at the line at the passport control at every country. I didn't know that it was also valid for the
looks like
for the internet. Yeah, exactly. So maybe we can talk a little bit about our guest of next week.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So I'll just you have the slide. Maybe you can show the slide.
Yeah, just a second.
So I just wanted to wrap our inform our guest of next week. Did you find the slide?
Yeah, it's coming. Just a second. Yeah, it's here.
So this is Gurvinder Singh Ahluwalia. He's from the United States. He has a very long career, and he's a technologist. He's the founder and CEO of the Digital Twinland. He's co-founder and CPO of StreamSum. He's the advisor to the Gates Foundation. And he's the former CTO of IBM Blockchain IoT Cloud. So I think the connection between US and Switzerland is a bit better. So I'm sure we will get him, especially he's an IT guy. And I just forgot to mention, he's an investor in technical and innovative businesses. He's a very big investor from US in these businesses. So looking forward to seeing you all, guys.
That's great. Thanks for listening to our stories. It was a story time today, and I hope you learned still a bit more about impact investing challenges, and see you next Friday. Act with impact.
Thank you. Act with impact. I like that word. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Hi, it's Sveta and Ben, the world's number one impact investing expert. I have been educating thousands of people on the topic, how can you use finance as a force for good?
And I have been helping hundreds of entrepreneurs all around the world to set up, run, and establish their companies and businesses.
Do you even know what is impact investing? And how can you get engaged in that?
Did you know that in the coming years, we are going to lose 26 trillion of our GDP due to the climate change? But on the other hand, are you also aware of all the opportunities that the sector has to offer?
Are you aware of changing policies and businesses which already impact every little part of your life?
To have the answer to all these questions, come and join us at Swiss Impact with Banerjee's on every Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock Swiss time, starting from 15 January.
We will be interviewing thought leaders, world leaders, policymakers, investors, businesses, which are already engaged in this sector. So see you on Friday.
See you on Friday.